I mean, you're rescuing Princess Daphne, who has her butt cheeks hanging out. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 123. And my voice is slowly coming back, just so you know.
What's wrong?
Just my voice just went away. No, I've been sick for, I think I had the flu for a little bit, but I'm on the mend.
Dang.
It's no fun.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. You've checked up on me daily. Kenny didn't check on me once.
Yeah. That's because you didn't even tell me you had the flu.
Kenny surprise! Didn't even
tuck you in. It's a surprise, Kenny.
Surprise.
The ESRB, the Entertainment Software Rating Board, has announced that it will soon affix a new label on video games that feature a variety of paid in-game purchases, including loot boxes, season passes, and DLC. What are your thoughts?
Are they really doing that?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's been passed. It's wow. Happening.
My thoughts are won't matter, doesn't fix anything.
Same. I think, I don't think it's going to change or do anything. And I don't even know if that's the point of it. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
I'm with you guys. Do you think that there should be something? Obviously, this is in response to all that's been going on concerning loot boxes, in-game purchases, all of those things. Do you think that something needs to be done, but this isn't going to be the thing that does it? Or are you like, let the kids play? Where are you?
I'm a something needs to be done, but that something that needs to be done is parenting.
Dang, kid. Well, that's not going to change.
That's probably true.
Yeah. I feel like if anything, it might motivate some developers to not have it in their game so they don't get that on their box art. But even then,
people don't even really sell games in boxes anymore. I mean, some.
Yeah, so it's physical copies.
You yeah, know? So much of games is digital distribution anymore that
it'll be somewhere on the, well,
I don't know. Somewhere probably. I obviously agree that it's a parenting situation, but I don't think that that gives them a get out of jail free card. You can do whatever you want to these games. And I think has been a gross mishandling and abuse of these things.
Yeah, there has been a gross mishandling. And yeah, parents can do better on that front. But also, I don't think it's like evil. I think it can have its place. Like some games do it really well. But those games are usually free to play, and then like the rest is cosmetic kind of stuff. It's not like a pay to win type of thing. If it's a pay to win thing, your game is bad.
Yeah, I'm like, certainly not anti microtransactions. The ones that drive me crazy are where it starts to feel real gambling ish.
Yeah,
it's the randomized loot for randomized reward that really sort of triggers those. You know, kind of we're pulling a lever on a slot machine kinds of reactions that I don't like, especially in games geared towards kids. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. I also have just an ethical problem with paying full price for a game, like a $60 game, and then having to continue to purchase things. There's some middle ground in there where, you know, it feels different to me, but it certainly has been done poorly enough different times that I'm glad it's at least a conversation because something's got to give.
My main concern with this is that virtually every game will have this label. Like from what I've read from the ESRB, like some games will have this label and they will be egregious abusers of gamers, while others will have this label and they are going to just like have spectacularly friendly, like gamer friendly DLC, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're not really getting anything accomplished here.
Right. It's not an answer. It's just like a
Band-Aid,
okay, we hear that you're talking about this, so here's something. I love DLC if it's done well. I'll pay for a DLC if I really love a game and the developer, but
yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Really, like, we aren't inherently against these kind of in-game purchases or microtransactions, but this fix isn't really a fix. They're probably just copping out. They're dragging their feet because they don't want to say anything that might offend somebody.
Yeah.
They're dragging their feet.
Yikes.
Go ahead. Finish the pun.
That was it.
There's dragons in this retro game of the week. Dragon's Lair.
Overview.
Dragon's Lair is a 1983 video game that was actually played on
I don't know about video game, but 1983 something.
Wow, it's clearly a video game.
Hold on, clearly a video game?
Yeah.
Kenny, how is it clearly a video game?
It has more video in its game than most video games have, so clearly a video game.
Wait, no. Clearly a video, unclearly a game.
The game of the week is actually a VHS.
I mean,
I know this is jumping ahead, but I don't care because you said it was a video game. I felt like we needed to talk about that. Although I did say it was the retro game of the week. Regardless, one of the versions of this game, one of the platforms is DVD. Like it came out on DVD.
Yeah.
To where you use the DVD remote control to input. Yes.
Which is a terrible, terrible idea.
And so if you can do that, is this really, and we'll get into it. We don't have to have
the
discussion.
You have a controller in hand with the DVD.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to stick with my guns. Not a video game. And despite the contention, say that it is a 1983 video game. Was that better? That originally came out on Laserdisc as a format, which if you're unfamiliar with Laserdisc, as much as Dustin, you drew the parallel to DVD, Laserdisc was basically a giant DVD.
Or like a big CD. Looks like just really big.
Yeah, they were really cool. I say really cool. They obviously weren't. And the only place you ever saw them was in schools. At least I did. Because... they bought them as like new tech and then it never took off.
Aren't they the size of like, aren't they CDs, but the size of like records?
Yeah, they're like vinyl sized CDs.
Exactly.
And my friend in high school, his dad had this huge Laserdisc collection. And I was like, that's sad.
That's so like, sad. Why? To invest in something and then not have it like take off be standard would be so terrible.
He had like all the
either way, in the early 80s, Laserdisc was a thing. And a game came out that used Laserdisc, was an arcade cabinet, but that like played on Laserdisc. And in this game, you are a daring knight. I'll say daring because your name literally is Dirk the Daring. And you're doing the normal knightly thing of trying to rescue a princess from an evil dragon.
Yeah, so you're doing it every single night.
You're doing the knight thing every single night. I don't know. I would tell you that was weird that you kind of went a little bit dirty there, Dustin, but this game almost does.
I mean, you're rescuing Princess Daphne who has her butt cheeks hanging out.
Yeah. But my understanding is that
how you talk about Daphne.
Character model of Daphne was modeled after like Playboy centerfolds.
Yeah, it was like
and everything that she says is suggestive with a wink, like in a flutter of her eyes.
Uh-huh. And like breathy voice, like she doesn't just talk to you normal.
It was a little surprising to me how like at least like, that piece of it was kind of adult oriented or implied.
Here's the thing.
It really was.
These game creators are evil all the way around. When we get into the gameplay, we can talk about how they're evil there. But even from the creation of the reward or the prize at the end is pornographic in nature. So that if that gets passed around, kids are going to be putting in more and more quarters to try to get to the end scene.
Yeah, that's true.
This game wouldn't have worked as well in...
No.
2018.
Maybe.
That's fair. So we've had some conversation already. I'd argue preemptively, but it's all right. We went there. about the actual kind of gameplay. And I think that's before we even jump into gameplay, as I'm describing this game, it's worth sort of pointing out that this game is unique and that basically it is, it's full motion video. It's not gameplay sprites like you usually see. It's full motion pre-recorded video that is then played through in different sequence, and how those sequences play is affected by whether or not you can time button inputs to match up with the action that's going on screen.
And so it's important to note here in the overview section that the primary feature of this game is the way that it looked. You have to imagine this in the arcade, and it's sitting beside games like Donkey Kong and Galaga. Pac-Man and Dig Dug and Galaga, and where they're limited because all of these are like sprite-based characters and scenes and all the things that are going on. And so pretty much you're just playing platformers and, or you're playing...
Right, and then this one looks full-on like a Disney movie.
Well... You said Disney. It's the animator is an ex Disney animator, Don Bluth. So like Land Before Time, Anastasia. He's got some very, very big titles to his name. He's an incredible animator, and you see his animation all throughout this game.
Yeah, it's like you're straight up playing a Disney movie. Like you're playing it, and that sounds weird, but that's exactly what this is like. It's just or you Disney- watch scenes unfold.
Yeah, or a Disney short. Like, you know,
right,
how
yeah.
Went, Disney
that's even better because it's fast paced and moving, and there's not a lot of like action. I mean, not a lot of like dialogue. And so it feels like an entertaining, comedic short. It really does. Yeah.
Gameplay.
Up, down, left, right, and sword.
Yeah.
That's the gameplay.
It's actually just about to say the exact same thing.
Or really?
Yeah.
You've got five buttons or two buttons, arguably. A button and a controller.
You've got one button
and a joystick.
And a joystick. And like to explain the simplicity of this quote unquote gameplay, again, there was a version of Dragon's Lair that was released on DVD. So you've got to think, and nothing was missing on the DVD version. Like the exact gameplay was there. Instead of having a joystick and one button, you just use the DVD controller. And so the same thing on the arcade system, you have the joystick, which you input either up, down, left, or right, or you press the button down for sword, and you have to do that at particular times throughout the animated scene that's being played, and usually at the end of that brief animation. And if you get it at the right time, there's a brief window there, and the right input, because there's only one input accepted, then you pass on to the next scene. There's a couple of animations that get you to the next scene. If you do not input it at the correct time, or
you're
do
dead.
Not input the correct input, then you die in some kind of glorious and quick, but also animated fashion.
That's literally it. Like it's a time-based input game, and you have to do it over and over and over again.
And so you're memorizing the inputs.
Hopefully.
And you're memorizing.
For the most part, in theory, you should be able to real-time react to them.
No,
but
not in this game.
Not in this game. They wanted you to do that, but they
missed.
As I was playing through, there were times that you could progress a little bit. Not through the whole game. Like, you wouldn't be able to do a whole playthrough without learning it. But you can get through a couple of scenes just by, like, being on your toes and being ready to hit that button as soon as it comes up.
I mean, that's a good point. You did significantly better than I did in your first play.
Yeah,
Kenny
I was
did
super
play,
impressed.
And I was. I was like,
is this the one video game I'm better than?
Yeah, this is Kenny's genre.
Yeah, it is. I was like, he's either getting so lucky or he's just timing it better, because I even knew what to do after watching you play, and I still couldn't.
You know the worst section? It took Kenny only one time through, and then he realized what to do. And then the second time through, he successfully made it through the horse section.
But even before that, the hallway scene with the skeleton bones
like
and the
forward
acid
and then attack, forward just, and then attack.
Yeah, yeah. I literally sat in that room for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I really don't know how
the
was
reason
able to,
they're so surprised is because the timing that this game requires is pretty specific. It does not give you a lot of grace in terms of here is the single moment that you're supposed to react and hit this one direction. And hopefully the like action on the screen when the game was doing it well would kind of imply, you know, oh, there's all this trouble. You're going to have to jump out a door to the right. And so you'd kind of be ready to. But it didn't always. So you had to sometimes be on your toes. And sometimes you're hitting a direction and sometimes you're swinging your sword. But the window that it gave for your input was pretty tight. So you had to be really on point if you wanted to make progress through this game.
To further emphasize that timing, the Steam version of the game lets you turn on a timing, like a beep when you're supposed to press a button, like a timing thing to help you. And I would miss them.
Well, and we were playing on easy, like on the Steam version, you can also move to hard, which gives you less reaction time. And I don't even understand that.
You just have to spam at that point. You have to know what to do in spam.
Well, I know, even spamming will mess you up because then you'll go right twice instead of just once and then up.
No, you almost have to like memorize it with near pixel perfect perfection, I think.
And Kenny, you mentioned, I don't want us to skip over, that in some of these animations, some of these levels, I guess we can call them, you do get some kind of a concept of what you're supposed to do. Like you're not going to notice it the first time playing it, or maybe the second time, but the third time through that stage, you might see that a specific area of the cave lights up or flashes right before the end of the scene. Well, that means go that direction, or there's different things at times or that show you, hey, or like you said, the door opens. And so you go through there, but typically, maybe for you, Kenny, but for me, and I would assume the standard person playing, it's going to take you a few deaths before you even notice that because of what all is going on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, it's really busy. I found myself actually a lot after I learned kind of the layout and I kind of got a sense of what was going on and was trying to do progression more than like immersion, you know, when I wasn't wanting to experience how the game looks and feels anymore because I had a sense, but I wanted to just get further. I found that at some point I quit paying attention to all the action on the screen. And again, you mentioned we played a recent port of this game that was available on Steam, and different versions of it give you the visual in kind of some different places. But the Steam version, all of your visuals for which button you're supposed to hit stay pretty tight in one location. And so I was able to almost quit paying attention to the animation altogether, which is the one good part of the game, and just wait for that little directional arrow to light up and then be ready to click it. And it almost became see a button, hit a button, monkeyishly simple kind of exercise at that point, and was still difficult.
Right. Like, I think any way that you're going to today be able to play this game, you're going to have that kind of a similar setup, whether it's through your iOS or through Steam or through the few other versions that are going to be available to you. You're going to have your arrows and your attack button all together on screen. We couldn't use our keyboard, unfortunately, which I feel like that should be very easy to program. Instead, we were having to click on them using our mouse, our mouses.
Moose.
My uncle and my niece, and we, and what you get down to, like, if you want to be successful, is you're not going to be able to watch the animation anymore, which,
legitimately
that's the one redeeming quality of this video, and we're not even able to watch that or interact with that. It takes away a lot of the fun.
I even looked up how to play the game or the best way to play the game. And one of the things online was like, watch it.
YouTube. Watch it on YouTube.
I'm kind of with them.
Early in the week, we were looking up like, what's the best way to play this game nowadays? And over and over again, I kept saying like, just watch it on YouTube.
I mean, that's the highlight of the game. And the gameplay is absent, in my opinion.
And yet, as I was playing, doing my first play this week, especially kind of that very first initial interaction with this game, which is always sort of telling, it literally is videos being played and me just trying to react in time. And yet, I almost got into it in a similar kind of way in terms of like heart rate up, adrenaline, feeling rewarded for doing things and not, that I do in like an intense platformer or something that's making me really think. I don't know why or how, but it kind of hooked me in to playing the game.
I don't get that. It must be for some people and completely not for others, but...
So you got like the same reaction as you would to playing an intense video game?
For a little while. Once I kind of got used to it and figured out what was going on and kind of boiled down the mechanics and the grind of dying continuously because of the difficulty sort of ground me down a little bit, the novelty wore off really fast. It's certainly not a game that the gameplay value is high. I think some people would probably, especially back in the day, would probably have mastered it and enjoyed the ability to show off their mastery. But I don't think the gameplay itself is going to be rewarding for anybody on its own merits.
One of my main problems outside of what we've already talked about was the pacing of the game. I don't know if it bothered you guys, but I felt like things were moving so fast that you couldn't even tell what is happening in the scene before you have to make an input. And so again, the one redeeming quality, the animation, which is great, you aren't even able to really appreciate. Like, and so there are a few times where you can learn from the death scenes, I feel like, or how you die and be like, okay, well, I'm dying because I'm doing this, so I won't do that next time. But then there are other times that even the death animation happens so quickly for me to make sense of anything. And so then a lot of the great artwork that went into this game and great animation is just lost on me.
Yeah, there were times when the death screen animation would come up, I feel like before it even finished like doing a motion that I inputted or something. Like it was just so fast. And I have a problem with that because this was an arcade game and it was designed that way on purpose. It was like, this is the quarter eater.
Crazy. Yeah.
Like even playing on PC where it's completely forgiving, lets you start over in that same section. I was still dying countless times and I don't see how someone can get through the game, at least back in the day, to beat it. It's just too fast. You can't see what you need to see in time. And then not only that, once you get it down, you have to memorize it. And am I crazy or is each playthrough different?
Right. And that's where it gets tricky. That's what I was just going to point out, Nolan, is because you can memorize per visual that comes up what your inputs are going to need to be for that visual. But the way it strings the visuals together changes playthrough to playthrough.
Which I actually kind of appreciate because it gives a like if it was a game, it gives some replay value on coming back
totally
to it because it's going to be a different experience.
The idea of it. But it ends up not even learnable.
I feel like they do it in a unique way that I actually appreciate, and that's even through one game play or through one run through, you're potentially going to be playing some of the same levels, but is what they do is they just mirror it. So it feel like, you know, it's the exact same thing, but it's being mirrored. And so instead of like a left input twice and then a right input, you would do a right input twice and then a left input. And
I guess it was a fine way in my mind for them to add content without having to make more stuff. You know, it's kind of a cheap resource trick to make you feel like you're getting, you know, double your money's worth or whatever. But as you were walking around in the maze, when stuff flips, it just felt like you walked right or you walked left, and that is the castle that you were going through. And so I didn't hate it, even though it felt a little gimmicky to me.
I don't know if either of you actually got to the end. So in Steam, you've got a lot of different settings. Oh. One of the settings is you can turn on the inputs to where it like straight up gives you the input, like it flashes. And so you can put the input in then. And so I played through using those. I mean, still dying and still game overing quite often, but would continue and use those. And so about 20 minutes later, it's about an 18 minute game, maybe 15 to 20 minutes. I got to the dragon's lair, and then it's just frustrating and just kind of like, it's one of those like unforgiving, ruthless, punishing sections to where you have to do like a dozen time perfect inputs one after another to be able to defeat the dragon and save the the princess. And it's just to me, and I know that difficulty ramps up later in the game, but all these things, it just seems like it's it's that, like, it kind of frustrates me in that it's that so that they can get all of your quarters. It really is to get you addicted to it so that you can play it over and over and over again. I don't know. I don't want to get into this big philosophical debate of that's just what games are, but
you started by bringing up loot boxes. And so maybe we're just coming full circle on
which one's worse,
game developers and their attempts to part you from your money.
I think somewhat they go hand in hand, and that, like, as long as you've got a quality game and you've got some additional content in there that you'd want me to pay for that I don't need, okay. But to even play this game, you know, you had to keep putting in the quarters and stuff. And I believe that it was either the first, I don't know if it's conclusive, but at least one of the first arcade games to cost 50 cents instead of 25 cents.
Whoa, per play? Yep.
Yeah.
Bro.
I know.
That's not okay. That's a dollar for two tries?
Well, I would imagine that my version was set up, you've got three, you know, deaths within still, they can happen so quickly on the same level, you know?
Yeah.
Dustin, you mentioned the deaths. I think it's worth noting that the detail of the animation that they went into, when you die, you don't just have a generic, you're dead, something play. The animation for your death matches what was going on in the scene every time, which I thought was super cool. If you're in a room and there's a bunch of fiery stuff and you miss your input, it's going to show your character getting burned up by fire. If you're, you know, messing around trying to avoid some snakes and you get your timing wrong, it's going to show you coiled up and, you know, squeezed to death by a snake. And so
if you're trying to jump through a wall that's closing, but you can't get your timing right, you're like over Kenny and over going again. To get your foot stuck over and over again.
My foot did not clear that wall so many times. Every other thing, I could slay giant skeleton hands and be on point, but that one wall I couldn't get the timing on.
Before we finish our gameplay section, because honestly, like, we dealt with the gameplay within the first 30 seconds of this gameplay section and just kind of dragged it out. But what's one particular stage in there, animated, you know, area that you enjoyed, that you didn't hate, that was interesting to you, or something that you would just want to comment on?
I like the skeleton hands, partly because I had such good luck with them, but partly because they were big and cool and looked great and swinging your sword around. And
I agree. Do you want to expand on what the skeleton hand stage is for those that didn't play the Switch?
Yeah, you're walking through this like tunnel and the doors on the side as you're walking forward, these giant skeleton hands from one side of the screen or the other reach in to try and like grasp you to death. And you have to time your sword like so many other enemies where you're just timing the sword input to swing around in a circle and slay them. And I just think the sword hits in general were always fun and rewarding because it just looked a little more game-ish and it was another kind of input. And so I liked those more than just the up, down, left, right moments.
Yeah, that was my least favorite one because I was stuck on it forever. I don't have a favorite one or appreciate any of them. But I'll tell you one just to add variety. There's a Lizard King guy that is living in the castle that you have to chase after, or actually you have to chase after your sword because it gets stolen. And the input for it's really simple. It's just right a bunch of times. So that's why I like that one a little more.
Just because it was easy.
Yeah, you just run right several different times in a row and that's about it.
There are two that stood out to me. One was the, and I don't know the names of any of these areas, but one was kind of this concave area, I guess, where you've got these different colored balls that are rolling to the right
clever.
And then to the left. Say that again?
That was clever. Like, it was a cool visual.
And then you have a huge ball that is rolling towards you and towards the screen. So you have to, after a few times of getting smashed by one ball or another, I realized you have to just wait until the balls that are rolling left and right pass you. And then you have to time that. And it was rewarding until right when you finally pass the last one, you have to throw in a quick up arrow or you're going to fall down a pit. Oh, so that was frustrating. One of the other areas that I thought was pleasing for the comedy aspects of this game, which we didn't really talk about much, but you enter into one room and you've got a table full of potions, like four or five different potions, and they're brewing, and you're going to waste some quarters going through the different potions to see what happens. Well, you realize after you go through all of these that all you actually have to do is just leave the room, because that's like to try to take random potions in the middle of a castle and a dragon's lair would be a terrible idea. So you just exit the room. You don't even take a potion.
I think there's another one that says drink me, and it's the same thing. You just leave. You don't drink it.
Yeah.
Aged.
I think we've made it pretty clear so far that the game is not very easy to get your hands on. So it was ported to everything. And I guess you could play it on your phone, but to get like the true old school experience, I don't think you can really achieve that anymore. Unless you
a lot of money.
Yeah, you can go over the top and do it. There are some really quality emulators that accurately emulate the original gameplay, but you need to, at least in theory, you need to have the actual laser disc itself or an image of the laser disc. And so anyways, there are ways to do it to where it feels and looks a little bit more legit. But they're very involved and complex. And so the easiest way to do it now for most people would just to be to play the still being sold version that's available on Steam.
Yeah, I mean, but my point was like, you don't need to play it. You can watch it. I'm not being funny. Like, you should just watch it. I mean, because I think, as we've said, the highlight here is the graphics. And I think, so like that style, that art style has technically aged, yes, but I still find it really enjoyable. Like that classic Disney look.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Know?
Well, I think that's one of the things that ages well compared to other games from the early 80s. Like early 80s, one of the main things that's not going to age well is your graphics, just because graphics have transitioned so much, right? But with Dragon's Lair, because it's animated and done by an incredible artist, although, animation has developed some, still there's some beautiful nostalgia to this artwork and some incredible, like it's absolutely remarkable compared to these other games of its era, that I think that's one of the things that ages unbelievably well.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think sometimes with the aging conversation, it's fair for us to a little bit kind of just assess the intangibles. I know we tend to live on the, is it worth like picking up and playing today? But to some degree, when you're a classic, and this game is certainly a classic, there's a reason that this is the game that got the shout out in season 2 of Stranger Things. There's a reason that this game is one of, I don't know, just a handful of games that,
like three.
Yeah. That were, like put in storage to kind of permanently commemorate them by the Smithsonian Institute. Like this game is classic gaming and a really unique take and a really unique taste on a time in gaming that was kind of different. And so I think those things are worth talking about and acknowledging. Certainly the gameplay doesn't translate well today, but I don't know if the gameplay was ever the appeal. So I don't know if that's the piece that it's even fair to judge it on to some degree.
Well, then I have to ask again, to Dustin's point, is this a game then?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going to come back to in our next section. Like, I do think that it comes down to that. I don't know if you just, I don't think you can just say that because we're interacting with the medium that makes it a game. And I feel like that might've been what's been done here.
An interesting take. I don't think it's a complex game. I think it was very, very simple. And I think, yes, absolutely designed to be punishingly difficult for their profit. And I think part of it was hardware informed. What they wanted to do with the visuals, put them into some hardware that really, really limited what they actually could do in terms of gameplay. And so it's hard to kind of eke out the why of the whole thing. But I get what you guys are saying. I certainly would still consider it a game personally, just not a very engagingly difficult gameplay game.
If you can't get enough of Dragon's Lair, there's Escape from Singe's Castle, which was its sequel. You've got a Dragon's Lair. You've got Dragon's Lair for the NES, which is a side-scrolling platform that I think is actually pretty bad.
Really bad. I checked it out. Yikes.
Bad. Dragon's Lair 2, Time Warp, Dragon's Lair 3, The Curse of Mordred. And then you've got Dragon's Lair 3D, Return to the Lair, which you just know that one's going to be really good.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every episode, we come to the question, do we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down? Does this game get our vote to say, find a copy and play it, you would enjoy it, or reserve your retro gaming time for another retro video game? It requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or another. Kenny, will you begin?
Sure. I had more fun playing this game than I expected to. It's super pretty. It is firmly a classic. And despite all of that, I think I'm the exception. The unfortunate reality is you're right. The art and the assets and the visual of it that was super unique then is still worth appreciating today. But I don't think that playing it yourself adds anything but a little bit of humor and a lot of frustration. And so I'd encourage everyone, go out, familiarize yourself with this game, but don't feel like you have to worry about playing it, especially with the only really accessible way of playing it being significantly overpriced for as old as the game is. $10 on Steam? You got to be joking me. No New Game Plus from me.
That's one no. I'll follow that up and say that kind of just what I started with, what I've hinted at throughout, not hinted, I mean strongly said, it's, in my opinion, it's just not a video game. It's an interactive animated movie. You watch a cartoon play, and then when an obstacle appears on screen, you press the right button to move on to the next scene. It's a DVD with a stop feature. So at the end of each scene, it stops and you have to press the right input just to get the thing to move on to the next thing. I think there are a lot of flaws with its quote unquote gameplay. I think it's beautifully animated. I want to give Don Bluth a round of applause. He deserves it. It's quality to watch. And I would encourage everyone to watch it because that would be an interesting way to interact with this medium. But I think putting it into the hands of a gamer and expecting them to have fun playing it as a video game is where we're going to miss out on this. I think it holds a position in what it did for the arcades in the early to mid 80s, but I definitely don't think it's something that you should waste your time trying to play now. It does not get my vote for New Game Plus status. No,
quick caveat, Dustin, as a number of us have said, kind of, hey, go watch this game. I do think it's worth pointing out that if you're watching a playthrough of the game, you may be seeing someone who is successfully navigating the story, and you're going to miss out on a lot of the humor and content if you see someone never die playing this video game. So go watch actual gameplay that is real to life and has some deaths and frustration in it if you want to really get a taste, because A, it's funnier, and B, it's more realistic.
I also don't like the game, and I don't think you need to play it. I think if anything, you can... first of all, I didn't know it was commemorated in a museum somewhere. But if that's true, then you can just go like look at it like you would,
a piece of art,
monkey or something in a zoo. yeah, Don Bluth is amazing. That look is very nostalgic, but it's not something I want to interact with in this form, so no way.
Yeah. So that's three no's. The Dragon's Lair does not get our vote for New Game Plus status, and I've got no qualms or issues about it. But what did you think about this game? Every week, we encourage you to send in your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com. Thomas wrote in and said, "This is a concept which is ahead of its time. It is not what I expected when I began playing this week, but it still enthralled me. Beautiful animations, but with zero gameplay. It's a retro classic with nostalgic value."
Agreed.
Yeah, I'll agree it's with all those things.
Yeah, it's just hard to expand on anything other than that in this quote-unquote game.
Even with it being a little bit ahead of its time, I feel like it suffers from the same thing that some like early VR suffered from, where it's like we want something that's immersive and beautiful and it's awesome, but we don't really know what to do with it. In their case, it's more we can't really do anything with it because they were hardware limited, but it certainly was sort of so ahead of its time that it ended up not being a game.
I don't like calling it ahead of its time. I just think it was different than what people were playing. I don't think it was ahead of its time.
That's fair. I mean, it was animation that was happening elsewhere in the world. And so it was just people saying, hey, let's put those visuals into a video game as best we're able. And the problem is that the able just wasn't very good yet.
Thank you for writing in, Thomas. Zion, one of our producers, wrote in, "I'm writing in to talk about one of my favorite games of the 80s. I lived right down from the local arcade and put a ton of quarters into this game till I found a trick. After learning the trick, the game became easy. Fast forward to a few years ago, and I found this game on the Nintendo Wii. So when I saw that you picked this game, I dusted off the Wii and played it again. The graphics were amazing for the time. The trick I learned worked again and again, and I went through most of the stages with minimal deaths. Not to say this game was not hard. The exact movements made the game fairly tough. Still, I loved the game. One of my favorites growing up. P.S. The princess was hot and still is. P.P.S. The secret to beating the game was to never look at the game, just the arrows on the bottom of the screen. And of course, being good at remembering up, down, left, right, and sword."
See, Nolan, I didn't even know it, but the reason I'm better at you than this game is because I discovered the secret.
Oh.
Daphne, best Disney princess.
Okay, we can talk about that.
That's a terrible statement.
If the secret to being good at this game is to not look at the game, I feel absolutely. Like that defeats. Dang, I feel like that's self-defeating.
So also, Dustin, you just called it a game like five times in a row. Just saying.
I am
He's
quoting
doing it for context. He's
our producer, Zion. I stand by that it's not a game. And Kenny, please comment on Daphne and her attractiveness.
I mean, they were obviously trying to make somebody.
Yes
that,
or no?
No.
Do you like her no? hanging out butt cheeks?
No, she was a little ridiculous for me.
Daphne, best princess.
No, wait, Jasmine's way better.
No, Jasmine's
that would be hilarious
lame.
If you just stick to Daphne being the best Disney princess, even though she's not allowed to be a Disney princess.
Jasmine's the worst.
Wow.
Shots fired.
It is that time of the week where we randomly select our new retro game of the week. I honestly haven't been this ready in a long time to move on from our present quote
Even
unquote
after scars?
Game to a new game. What'd you say?
Even after scars?
Even after scars. I remember there was more redeeming game features True. On that than there is on this.
True.
Before we get ourselves into trouble, let's randomize the next retro game of the week. Find out what we're going to be playing for the next 7 days.
Is this another Color of Dinosaur?
We're going to be playing an educational action video game.
Yeah.
Developed Start. By Sculpted Software. For the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. That's the SNES. 1994. It's a game called Rex Ronin, Experimental Surgeon.
Here's the thing.
No, what
when
is
you
it?
Have educational people try and put things out on a like entertainment platform console, I feel like it often just goes south really fast.
Hold on. Do you want to hear how good this is going to be? The game teaches players about the hazards of smoking tobacco cigarettes.
That's the point of the game.
That's the whole game. The whole game is an anti-smoking campaign.
I can finally quit. Wow. Here's the thing: Magic School Bus were did it really well. Those games were so
fun. Did they do games?
Oh, wow.
They did games on the PC, and they were awesome.
Oh, on the PC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's room for that. What scares me is when they specifically are like overtly educational on and they console. Specifically try and go on console.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. Well, this is going to be awful, but find a copy and play it along. It's a SNES game, so it should be fairly easy to be able to play along with us this week. Again, Rex Ronan, Experimental Surgeon.
Discord. That's it.
Get in it.
We have a Discord server that we would love to have you join us in, and we chat in there every week, and we share like music recommendations. We share other weird personal stories. So come check us out. There's an invite link on our Twitter.
Sounds very enticing. Come and we'll share weird personal stories.
You never know what you'll find in there. Sometimes I open it up and I'm like, okay, I close
when
it.
When I come up with a really good recipe, I share it on there.
Recipe for disaster.
There's going to be a lot of PSAs. Is that what they're called? About smoking tobacco cigarettes this week.
This week,
and
wife.
There's a not safe for work Daphne channel.
Which is any Daphne. Any and all Daphne is not safe for work. Support us on Patreon to get invited to that
that's a tier of Patreon support. Hey, speaking of Patreon, we got to thank all of our patrons who support us on Patreon. You guys are the best. You know why. Bradley, Zion, Gimbarino, our producer level supporters, big thanks especially to you.
Make sure to visit us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube as well. And we put out some regular video content, first plays like Kenny did this week. We're definitely going to do a first play of Experimental Surgeon. There's also some Let's Plays of Nolan and myself playing Dark Souls and Ocarina of Time that come out weekly. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes, which are now edited and produced by Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Rex Ronan, Experimental Surgeon. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still planning to not smoke this week.
I'm Dirk.
And this has been a special Daphne production of New Game Plus.